The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Sunday, Jocktober 17th. That's right. I said Jocktober, baby. Jock Peterson took Max Scherzer yard in game two of the NLCS. Let's go, Braves. Chop on, baby. Anyway, I'm fired up because the Atlanta Braves are playing well and have a chance at a World Series title. But we're here to talk about football. So let's dive in on some week seven spreads that you need to jump on now instead of waiting for. Joining me to do so, my good friend, John Breach. Breach, what's up, buddy?
Brinson, I'm so confused. I thought I accidentally logged on to our baseball podcast, but I didn't. It says Pick Six in the corner. Got Pick Six right here on the pullover. This is the right podcast.
By the way, reminder to you that this evening, when we do the recap podcast, you can find, if you're listening to this show, you can find the recap in the feed, of course. And if you're, but they're all in the feed. Subscribe to YouTube. You'll get alerted when we go live or when we get new videos. And not just subscribe. When you hit subscribe, YouTube's weird. You actually have to press the bell button too to turn on your notifications. You know, most sites opt you in. YouTube is kind of nice about it and doesn't opt you in until you select that. So go ahead and select that bell and get our alerts. We'll have tons of programming coming soon, as well as live recaps Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, and this show's on there too. We're going to start with Thursday Night Football this coming week. The Cleveland Browns got a beat down, but they weren't alone. So did the Denver Broncos, and these two teams will lick their wounds, get their stuff together, and head to Cleveland to play on Thursday night. The Browns are 5.5-point favorites in a game with a total of 44, Breach. That is a low number, but it's not surprising because these are two fairly conservative teams. And Baker Mayfield looked like his his labrum exited his body at one point during that game.
Yeah, and if you're a quarterback, you do not want your labrum exiting your body at any point during any game. Brinson, it's hard to believe that 2 weeks ago, both of these teams were 3-1, and we were talking about, are they for real? Could they be playoff contenders? Well, the answer for the losers of this game is definitely going to be no, because you're going to be 3-4. You're going to have lost three games in a row. You mentioned that they both got blown out on Sunday. At least the Browns, they got blown out by an undefeated Cardinals team. The Broncos got blown out by a team that just lost their head coach, had to play on the road, and you know, it was a perfect spot for Denver to win, and they just got torched. So that is ugly. Picking this game is a little difficult because I don't even know who's going to be on the field for the Browns. Nick Chubb didn't play Sunday. He's hurt. Kareem Hunt got carted off the field.
Kareem Hunt was grabbing his calf. It looked like something that will – I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I would guess that that's an injury that will keep him out for Thursday's game.
On 3 days rest.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, Baker Mayfield's labrum exited his body, so who knows if he's going to play Thursday. If he can't go, the backup is – Case Keenum. There are just too many injuries the Browns are dealing with that I am taking the Broncos and the points by default. I don't know that I'm going to pick Denver to win it straight up, but with the 5.5 points, I'm taking Denver.
Yeah, I think if you are interested in wagering on this game, and the line is up because despite Baker Mayfield's injury, he did come back in the game. I would point out, I think if you want to bet on this game, and we're recording this on Sunday night, of course, it's Thursday night, the game is, if you like either the under or the Broncos, you should bet it now. I would bet that this under drops down significantly. The Broncos are not interested in shootouts. They are more than willing to be conservative on offense. They play a good defense, but if Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are both out, and it's very possible they are, it's going to be Felton and Johnson. And I'm calling them Felton and Johnson because I can't remember their first names. I'm kidding. I can look it up pretty quickly. But the point being is that running backs you likely haven't heard of, D'Ernest Johnson and Demetric Felton, are going to potentially be the lead backs for Cleveland's rushing attack. Cleveland was also without, in that blowout loss to Arizona, Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills, their two starting tackles. Kind of a big deal when you're a run-heavy team. So that's the other thing, too. We don't know what their status will be, but it's not like they have 7 days to get healthy. You know, they're now going to have to try and get – and maybe they held them out for this game against Denver. The point being, Denver is going to get closer to 3, I would guess, because of the injuries with Cleveland. Their injury list is long. And that because of these – you know, weather could be bad. It was bad on Sunday. Didn't matter for the Cardinals. But because of that and because of the nature of these two teams, I would anticipate that total – drops a little bit. I like the under at 44, although I like the under at 48 in Arizona, Cleveland. That didn't work out so well for me. Thanks, Kyler. Bengals, Ravens. Oh, the Cincinnati Bengals. The Hoodays are chirping at me on Twitter. Our Cincinnati, the legion of fans that we have for Cincinnati. I picked the Detroit Lions to win that game. That was stupid, very stupid, because your Bengals blew out Dan Campbell to the point that he was calling out Jared Goff in the postgame press conference. But an even bigger win, the Baltimore Ravens slaughtered the Los Angeles Chargers. And as a result, the Ravens are -6.5 and an over-under of 47.5 for a lovely game on CBS this coming weekend.
Brinson, you disrespected the Bengals, and now the odds makers are disrespecting the Bengals. 6.5 points, they're 4-2. They've looked fantastic. 4 wins their past 5 weeks. The only loss coming in overtime to the Green Bay Packers in a game where their kicker had 2 chances to win it. Otherwise, this team would be 5-1. 6.5 points. But you know what? The reason this spread is...
Just out of curiosity, you did just say their only loss came to the Packers. Then you pointing out...
No, I said in the stretch that I was talking about, they've won 4 of their past 5 games, and their only loss came to the Packers. Listen, Brenton, you need to listen.
That is some cherry picking business right there.
So anyway, this is 6.5 points because the Bengals struggle against the Ravens. I can't even remember the last time the Bengals beat the Ravens. But you know what? My notes here say it was September 2018. Since then, the Ravens have won 5 in a row. None of those games have been close. And usually it's because the Ravens offensively just move the ball at will. But the Bengals defense is so good this year. I mean, that's been the biggest surprise this entire season, is how well their defense has played. I think they're going to be able to slow down Baltimore. I think this is going to be an old-fashioned street fight. You know, the AFC North, black and blue, kind of go at it. And I think it's going to be a close game. I have a tough time seeing this being a blowout. So I'm going to take the Bengals in the 6.5.
Yeah, I could see that being the case. Baltimore is rolling right now. But I think it's important to note, and I screwed this up, and I bet on Baltimore on Sunday when some of the inactives came out. And
did you parlay them with the Lions?
No. I did parlay the Lions with the Jets and the Patriots. So thank you for not making me suffer through that overtime game, thinking I had that 3-game money line dog parlay. But my point being is that in hindsight, when I made my picks for the site and I picked Los Angeles, the Chargers, that was a bad matchup. Like, the Chargers are not good against the run, and the Ravens got them in that spot that they've gotten teams in over the past couple of years once Lamar started, where they get you down, they make you one-dimensional, they force you to panic a little bit, and Brandon Staley went for a bunch of fourth downs in his, like, on his 19, and then they just run the ball more. And we saw Le'Veon Bell, Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman, also all had rushing touchdowns. Like, congratulations to your 2017 fantasy team. I don't think that they'll be able to do that as easily against the Bengals, because coming into this game, the Bengals were 7th in rush defense DVOA, and they held the Lions to, I believe, 36 rushing yards on 18 attempts. That is, math majors, 2 rush yards per carry. So I will also begrudgingly take the Bengals, and I think that that is as well a game that will move down. So if you can find 6.5, you would love to get 7. It's probably not going to get there because I think there would be sharp money jumping all over it. 6 is probably what you're going to find on the market. And I would anticipate that it keeps creeping a little bit lower because people are starting to realize that Cincinnati may be a legitimate football team for the first time since, 2015? That was a question for you, but
I nodded my head in agreement because I didn't feel like answering your question. Yes.
It was kind of an insult question.
Anybody watching it, yes. It was like the backhanded insult.
It was very breaching of me. The Washington football team, fresh off a garbage loss to the Chiefs. They had him dead to rights at halftime. Patrick Mahomes played awful. They still got blown out. Heads to Green Bay to play a vengeful Aaron Rodgers who blacked out, apparently, and told a bunch of Bears fans who were flicking him off that, I own you, I still own you, and screamed that several times. That, of course, caused Bears fans to realize that their lives are shamefully spiraling out of control. The Packers are minus 10, the over-under 49 here, Breach.
Man, imagine going to Soldier Field, showing up, thinking maybe your team can pull off an upset, and you leave the stadium knowing Aaron Rodgers owns you. I mean, that is just absurd. Good for Aaron Rodgers, and it's probably going to be good for him this week. This is a huge point spread, but you know what, Brenton? Have you watched Washington play this season? The defense can't stop anyone. I mean, last year, the defense really was stopping everyone. This year, it's the opposite. I mean, you look at just the last 3 weeks, they've given up 30 or more points in each of the last 3 weeks, not just on Sunday against the Chiefs. The week before against the Saints, they gave up 33. They gave up 30 points in a loss to the Falcons, or when they beat the Falcons. And the Packers are arguably the best offense they've played this season. I mean, you could say it's the Chiefs, but the Chiefs aren't running on all cylinders right now. So I'm going to say the Packers are the most well-rounded offense they'll have faced so far this year. I will be shocked if the Packers don't put up 30 or more points.
Oh yeah.
And just because they can do that, I hate taking a double-digit favorite here. But you know what? The Packers 5-1 against the spread. I think they're going to put up a ton of points. So I'm going to roll with Green Bay covering the 10.
Yeah, I would like to see a team total on this. Those aren't out yet. I mean, I guess you could do the math, right? So you take away the 10 points, you get 30. What, so it'd be 15, 20. I didn't do that math right. Dude, if you could do the math while I'm talking, if you can, and try and figure out what they're saying, the Green Bay's team.
Basically total. 30 to 19.
30 to 19. Thank you, Breach. That's much better. So their team total will probably be like 30.5 or something like that. I wouldn't mind doing that because I don't really trust Washington to score. Taylor Heinicke, I started him in fantasy in a bunch of different places and thought he might be able to put up a big game. He couldn't do anything, even against that horrible Chiefs defense. The one thing that I would be a little hesitant on with this line is that there's a tweet from the guy who runs the Golden Nugget, or the sportsbook director for the Golden Nugget. And he said, I don't know if you saw this, but he said, today's the kind of day as a sportsbook director, I want to lock myself in my office with a full bottle of Knob Creek. In other words,
I've done that.
Of course, who amongst us haven't? Like my buddy, Brian is going to win our picks league this week. And Ryan Wilson's probably crushing against the spread because all the favorites won and covered, which means be a little careful taking any of these huge favorites. For instance, like the Packers minus 10, maybe they're a better teaser piece. Maybe they come in and try to run it and Washington slows them down. I'm not sure. I can't take Packers at 10, but if you force me to bet on this right now, that's probably what I would take because I just can't trust Washington at this point in time. Bears, Bucks, speaking of big spreads, the Buccaneers are minus 12.5 with a 10-day rest after throttling. Just kidding. It was a close game. No, it wasn't a close game. It was a throttle. Throttling the Eagles on Thursday night. The Bucks are minus 12.5 at home against the Bears, over under 49, Breach.
The scoreboard in the Buccaneers-Eagles game said it was close. The box score said it was throttling. I got you, yeah. Brenton. I got you. Yeah. We talked about the 10-point spread with the Packers. Now we have a 12.5-point spread. What is going on here? You know what's funny is these two teams actually played each other last year while Tom Brady was with the Buccaneers, and the Bears won as a big underdog. They won 20-19 in a primetime game. This one's not primetime. This is late Sunday afternoon, 4:25 p.m. kickoff. And you know what? I don't always like to look at last year's results. Don't do that often. But you know why the Bears won last year? Because they put so much pressure on Tom Brady. And the Bears defense has shown over the past few weeks that they're capable of doing that again. So I do think you can look a little bit at last year. And I'm sure Matt Nagy saying, guys, that's the recipe to victory. We got to get after Brady. We saw this team do it to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the Packers only scored 24 points. The Bears defense is only giving up 15.3 points per game over the past 3 weeks. So they have been pretty stout. You know, I don't think they're going to upset the Buccaneers, but I don't think the Buccaneers are going to go out and score 30 points. I think this is going to be probably something similar to what we saw with Green Bay and Chicago, a 10-point game-ish. So maybe something 24-14, 27-17, but 10 points covers the spread, so I'm rolling with the Bears here.
Yeah, Tom Brady's not afraid to blow people out, but as we saw with the Eagles, you know, that was a game that they can't – I mean, look, you don't have to – it doesn't matter how you get there. It's, you know, that's how gambling works. Sometimes you get there in funny ways, and the Eagles got there in a very, very funny way. With this game, in terms of movement, I would guess that total comes down a little bit. In fact, Debo plopped it in here as 49. I see it in certain places at 48. So that's probably the expected movement. If you want to take the under, that's the early bet that you should make. I don't know that I can get on the Bears. I will take the Bears at 12.5 if we were making our picks right now. I do not want to bet them at 12.5, though, because Justin Fields doesn't look – I don't know if you saw that Darnell Mooney touchdown throw. It took him 5 seconds to recognize that Mooney was – like, no one was in 5 yards of him, and that's concerning. But they really should have covered the 10 against the Packers. You know, the Aaron Rodgers had not a garbage time, but the Bears had closed it within, you know, they left some time to cover and Fields just couldn't get it done. So I will begrudgingly take the Bears if I'm doing anything, but under would be the move I'm looking to grab on here, because I think this could drop, you know, I don't know about like 45, but certainly cruise down to 47, 46, maybe. Chiefs -4 at the Tennessee Titans. This will be a tough one to find on Sunday night because the Titans don't play until Monday. And that game will affect probably how the line looks. But the Chiefs got the win in Washington. They did what they had to do. Mahomes ended up having a pretty decent game. And the over-under this one is set at 56. Holy moly.
Somebody in the scheduling department, the NFL, apparently hates the Tennessee Titans.
Seriously.
They have to play the Bills on Monday night, then turn around on a short week and play the Chiefs. I mean, that is rough. But you know what? This is an interesting game.
They did get to play the Jaguars before, though.
That's true. So I guess it all evens out in the long run, maybe.
Golly, it's Bills, Chiefs, Titans, Rams, Saints.
There you go. So now
the Colts, not Titans, obviously.
So you agree that someone in the scheduling department hates the Titans?
Yep.
And I don't hate the Titans, though. People of Tennessee, as someone who lives in Nashville, I'm not going to completely homer this one. I am just going to anti-Chiefs this one. Look, the Chiefs can't cover any spread. Yes, they covered against Washington. They're 2-4 on the year, but you just can't trust them right now, and it's because their defense is so bad. And now that defense is going to have to try and stop Derrick Henry. For me, though, this is going to come down to whether or not the Titans get out of Monday's game healthy. If we know that A.J. Brown, that Julio Jones are all going to be playing in Week 7 against the Chiefs. So basically, if the Titans are fully healthy on offense, then I love them to cover this point spread. But this is one where probably wait till Tuesday and make sure that everyone gets out of the Monday night game healthy.
Yeah, certainly waiting to see what happens, because if you know Tannehill got hurt and AJ Brown is sick and may not even play Monday, we'll see how that plays out. Obviously, you know, keep an eye on that for fantasy purposes. I think I want to get involved in the over on this one, but man, I mean, that's a lot of points. And we saw where even with the Chiefs and their bad defense, like the WFT put up 13 points. You know, and Kansas City did look a little bit better on defense, but that's the concern, is that you got to get to 56, which means you really need both teams to score close to 30. And that's asking a lot from a Titans team that, you know, likes to rely on Derrick Henry, understands the stakes of playing the Chiefs and how you have to beat the Chiefs, especially if your defense isn't good, and will probably try to reduce the amount of time that the game, you know, they're going to try to shrink the clock, basically. That under, or that total is up to 56.5. It's not going to go much higher. So if you like the under, bet it now. I don't think the line moves a whole lot. That's probably one that stays a little bit stagnant between now and next Sunday. Sunday night football. Oh, my 49ers return from their bye as 4.5-point favorites over the suddenly somewhat resurgent Indianapolis Colts. Now, granted, the Colts obviously got daggered by the Ravens on Monday Night Football, but then bounced back in very impressive fashion. Carson Wentz looked good. Jonathan Taylor had like 130 yards and two touchdowns, and they smoked the Texans. But they're 4.5-point dogs to the 49ers on Sunday Night Football. Total 44.5, Breach.
Yeah, you know what? My problem with the 49ers right now is that I don't even know who their quarterback is going to be. Kyle Shanahan keeps it a mystery. Both of these guys were battling minor injuries. I don't know if it's going to be Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo. But you know what, Brinson? I don't think it matters because the Colts have been impressing me so much over the past few weeks. The Ravens game, if the Colts would have brought a healthy kicker to Baltimore, they win that game going away. And they were a couple missed field goals. That game probably should have gone to overtime. So if your kicker makes his kicks, you win that game. And then even though they had a dagger, just a heartbreaking loss, they bounced back, absolutely hammered the Texans on Sunday. And so the Colts have been dominating these games because of their defense. And I think they're going to go to San Francisco. I think they're going to slow down the 49ers. And as bad as the 49ers have been playing the last couple of weeks, obviously on a bye in week six, 4.5 points just seems a little surprising. So I am going to take the Colts to cover here.
I think that line may be partially like the books don't know what the 49ers are going to do at quarterback. And they don't really know exactly because, you know, we do, teams coming out of a bye, you don't have a ton of information about who's healthy, who's not healthy, who you're going to have for this game, you know, until you get a little bit later into the week. So I think that's a question that you have to have answered. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, unless we're missing something with the Colts where, yeah, I mean, the Colts are going to be who they are. There's, you know, we know what the Colts have. They came out of that game largely unscathed.
They are who we thought they were.
Yeah, they are who we thought they were. Shout out Denny Green. That rant happened about this time of the year.
Yeah. We're just away from the 15-year anniversary, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I would guess that this line would go closer to 3 as opposed to closer to 6. So if you like the Colts catching the points here on Sunday Night Football, you should bet that. I also think that under the total might come down, Breach. What do you think? 44 and a half's low, especially for a primetime game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to go fall very much.
Let's see if it's moved at all. It's 45. I don't think it's going to go shooting up. I mean, you could throw all over the Colts, but the 49ers are not exactly a – that's the thing, too, is like, is Jimmy G going to play? Is Trent Williams healthy? There's a lot of questions to be asked about that. So I would lean under, but don't think the total is going to come way down. I think we can see this be a little bit stagnant. If you like the Colts, though, take the Colts now because I would bet that gets closer to 3 by kickoff. All right, that's the look ahead for week 7. Breach, as always, buddy. Looking ahead. A pleasure. We will see you guys in the recap. Make sure and hit the YouTube subscribe button. You can come join us for a live show after Sunday Night Football. See ya.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.